Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in today. Welcome to It's Time for More Injury Funding, the podcast for all who want to learn about legal funding and its significance in personal injury, wrongful death, immigration, medical malpractice, and many other types of law practice domains. I'm your host, Laura, founder and CEO of More Injury Funding, the legal funding counselors with passion for law, medicine, legal funding, and heart for all suffering individuals. More Injury Funding is a sponsor, members, associate, or business partner of this podcast, Georgia Trial Lawyers Association, Academy of Trek Accident Attorneys, Sandy Springs Bar Association, Georgia Association of Paralegals, Atlanta Legal Aid Society, State Bar of Georgia, and Georgia Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. In today's episode, I have a special guest, attorney Ross Petkoff with Petkoff Law Group based in New York, New York. Welcome to It's Time for More Injury Funding podcast, Ross.
Thank you very much, and thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. Today, we'll explore the idea of business partnership disputes where they intersect with personal injury law. Let's start with you telling us, what types of law do you practice and what is the main focus of your law firm?
Sure. So we are predominantly a commercial litigation and corporate boutique. We help business owners resolve complex disputes between partners, shareholders, and third parties. So we deal with a lot of claims of disputes between owners of businesses, but also between disputes of business owners and third parties, claims for fraud, fiduciary breaches, unjust enrichment. And then between partners, we sometimes have to file emergency applications to get injunctions, et cetera. And there is a rather large overlap with personal injury and the business partnership disputes, but I'll let you ask the questions and I'm sure we can get to that in due time.
That sounds good to me. So business partnership disputes can sometimes heavily impact the overall success and reputation of a business. How so?
That's a great question. One of the big impacts that maybe people don't realize right away is that when two business owners are having a dispute, or if there are several business owners, it's often not just limited to them. So especially if you have employees of the company, if you have executives of the company, these disputes may start at the top internally, but it's often not long before it starts to go down the ladder, down to the entirety of the staff. And when you consider that in conjunction with the staff then getting nervous or uncertain about who's actually in charge, what the direction of the business is going to be, that can often lead into problems with interactions with customers. So the morale of the business can certainly get diminished rather quickly. The other side of the coin is when a litigation or a lawsuit's actually filed. Unless there's an arbitration clause where parties are not actually litigating in court, the public persona of the business can take an immediate hit the second there's a filing, especially if it's in federal court, because as you're probably well aware, PACER likes to track the status of cases, and the moment a filing takes place, it's going to come up in a Google search, and now the business's reputation can actually be shot.
Interesting. And do you see a trend of some common causes of partnership disputes in business and partners eventually getting divorced per se?
Absolutely. And of course, the issues can run the gamut. We've seen a number of different scenarios play out. Certainly one member or partner of a business taking money from the company bank account that's not authorized. So that's not a proper distribution can often lead to a lot of major disputes that can wind up in liquidation. Companies or individuals taking the client lists and then opening a new business, competing with their prior business and starting to take off and siphon off the clients of the main business is a big issue. We've seen, believe it or not, scenarios where intellectual property, trademarks, trade secrets owned by the entity, one of the partners will take that and decide to set up a new entity and try and utilize the same IP or the same trade secrets for these new ventures. So there's many different ways that we see businesses break up. And sometimes it really is just a matter of personalities not aligning. But very often it's because you have one bad faith actor that just decides to do things that are not aligned with what the company is supposed to be doing.
And now let's explore, how do personal injury cases intersect with business partnerships and disputes? Can you give maybe a couple examples of this type of scenario?
Sure. And, before I was a commercial litigator dealing with business disputes, I did insurance defense. So I guess I was on the opposite side of the aisle to a lot of the PI claims. But I think really where businesses and personal injury kind of merge is especially in the landlord-tenant scenario. So businesses will take on a lease. Often they're required to get insurance from the landlord and they need to provide a defense to the landlord as part of any dispute that takes place. And so with respect to businesses, they need to make sure that the premises are maintained in a certain way. Litigating in New York, a lot of those issues tend to deal with the sidewalks in front of the premises during snowstorms. The tenant is often the one that's responsible for maintaining a clear sidewalk during a storm or thereafter. They need to also ensure that there is ingress and egress to the location of where the business is operating. And if somebody gets injured, if there's a slip and fall, a trip and fall, or anything of that nature, the landlord will get sued. The business owner is going to get sued as a tenant. And what's going to happen is they need to have a good insurance policy to ensure that counsel will be retained by the business through the insurance policy, so the business is not paying out of pocket. And that law firm is most likely going to not only provide the defense to the business owner as a tenant, but to the landlord as well. And we see a lot of claims come up where one of the partners was responsible for obtaining that policy, but they never did it. And so now internally in the business, there's a dispute over whether or not that failure arises to a fiduciary breach. And then now that company, regardless, is now defending an action that they have to pay an attorney for out of pocket, and it turns into an absolute nightmare. So a bit of an interesting scenario where you can see a business partnership dispute, the idea that one needs to not only obtain coverage, but make sure it has the proper language for insurance. And now you have a personal injury claim that's being made because there is no insurance. The business has to actually fund a law firm to defend it.
That's fascinating. What legal considerations, in your opinion, Ross, should businesses keep in mind when facing personal injury claims?
Well, I think number one really comes down to making sure that there's a well-vetted insurance policy in place. They're going to want a general liability policy that not only covers them, it has a good coverage in terms of the amounts on a deck page showing that per occurrence, how much liability there's going to be. And they're going to want to make sure that the requirements of their lease with the landlord are aligned with what the insurance policy states. So if you take care of that, and then the tenant also ensures that they understand what they're responsible for as part of the lease, such as making sure that the sideways and ingress are clear, that's a great start to ensuring that they're not going to have to pay out of pocket for a potential personal injury claim. And then, of course, there's other standards and requirements and adhering to ADA responsibilities with respect to the interior of any business. But ultimately, there's a due diligence process that any business owner should ensure that they deal with when they take on a lease. So that way, if somebody does get injured, either insurance is going to cover the claim, or if it doesn't, that they know that they did everything in their power to avoid it and avoid the injury, I should say.
Okay. How can businesses protect themselves from liability in cases where personal injury is involved?
That's a great question. Often it's really going to come down to a diligence process. Businesses should have checklists to ensure that everything associated with potential liability in their store, at the storefront and right outside of their premises are up to standards. So if there's, again, issues with sidewalks or spaces between sidewalks, the business should immediately contact the city and have them come to either inspect or to try and perform repairs. If there's anything in the interior, such as cracks or defects within the business's premises, they should have that fixed right away. If there's any issues with loose fixtures, any lighting, anything on the walls, anything that's potentially not up to par, often businesses will say, we're not too worried about that. It's going to cost us X, Y, Z. We're not going to take care of it. But then when somebody gets injured on the premises as an invitee, it becomes a significant problem. So crossing your T's, dotting your I's, making sure that the interior and exterior of your business are up to par, so that way people don't get injured in the first place.
Okay. Do you recommend any strategies that can be employed to resolve partnership disputes amicably and prevent future conflicts?
Well, and I actually spoke about this earlier today. I do. Number one would be that business partners should always have an operating agreement if they're an LLC, or a shareholder agreement in bylaws of their corporation that set forth the roles and responsibilities of the owners, discuss their various voting rights, state forth the equity owned by each partner, and list things such as each party's capital contribution to the business. When you get to the point that there's a potential dispute, there are three provisions that I would say should always be in these agreements. Number one, have a deadlock provision. A deadlock provision ensures that if two partners in a business are having a feud, they can refer to that clause to gain relief. And one mechanism would be in a deadlock provision, you have two partners, And now they've elected in their contract a third party, whether it's an advisor, an attorney, a CPA, who is agreed upon in their operating agreement will be the one to render a decision when there's a dispute. So if the two partners can't reach an agreement, they initiate the deadlock clause, the third party advisor comes in and makes a final decision. We also recommend various options such as mandatory mediation and arbitration provisions. So that way, if there is a dispute, the parties aren't suing each other in the public forum, which, as we discussed earlier, could potentially his reputation. They first try and resolve it amicably via mediation. If that doesn't work, they go to arbitration. So that way a decision can be made that's not in the public eye. And a third factor that I always recommend considering is having a fee shifting provision in an operating document. A fee shifting provision ensures that the winning party in any dispute is able to collect attorney's fees. This winds up being of importance when you're dealing with a bad faith actor. The worst and most challenging scenarios that we face is when we recognize that our client or somebody who wants to work with us is in the right. There's a bad faith actor in the wrong. But the reality is the individual doesn't want to pursue their claims because they're so worried about how much it's going to cost. But if you put that buffer in there of that assurance that once we obtain a successful outcome, we're also going to be able to collect attorney's fees, it's something that I think aids the individual prospective client or the individual in a partnership to have the wherewithal and confidence to be able to pursue their claims.
Absolutely. How does the intersection of business and personal injury impact the stakeholders involved, Ross?
Well, you know, it's one of those things. If there's a personal injury claim that affects and impacts a business, it all comes back down to insurance. If they don't have insurance, if they have insurance, the matter is going to get sent to a carrier. The carrier is going to retain a law firm. That carrier is going to pay for the law firm. And any settlement that's ultimately reached, or even if there's a verdict, that gets paid out of insurance. So the business is able to survive and carry onward. And yes, they may have to appear for depositions and provide documents and evidence, but ultimately the business should be okay. If there is no insurance in place, then they run the risk of spending 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, even up to $100,000 hiring a law firm and getting billed hourly for work that had they had an insurance policy, they would never have had to pay for in the first place. So I think that is the biggest and most important aspect when it comes to business owners, protect themselves from personal injury claims and how they can ensure that the business can remain unharmed if there is an injury claim at their premises.
Must be some ethical implications of handling partnership disputes and personal injury cases in business. What are those?
Yes, I think ultimately an attorney, and you could probably relate to this, does have an ethical obligation to perform an inspection of the allegations that are provided to them. So in the business partnership setting, if an attorney is interviewing a prospective client and it comes to the attorney's attention that the claims that they're alleging to have taken place clearly hadn't, the attorney does have an ethical obligation to further investigate or correct that client and either put them on a path that makes sense if they're just misguided, or if it's clear that they're making the claims up, to ultimately not carry onward with filing a frivolous action. The same can be said in the personal injury landscape, and we've done some plaintiffs PI as well over the years, similar intake process. The plaintiff is going to allege that they were injured, where they were injured, what the injury ultimately was, how long they were bedridden, what they were able to do before the injury versus what they could do after the injury. And the law firm has an obligation to perform a preliminary inspection to obtain a veracity of what's being said. So one could look into obtaining medical records. Was there a 911 call made? Was the plaintiff taken to the emergency room? So if you go through this process and start to assess what happened, if the attorney or law firm notices that none of this really checks out, then they do have an ethical obligation to either, again, put the prospective client on the right path or also ultimately indicate that they can't take the claim.
Mm-hmm. What advice would you give to the businesses that wish to maintain a positive reputation and public image in the face of partnership disputes in the personal injury law realm?
Well, I think it's easier said than done for business disputes. If there is a concern for reputational damage, then an arbitration clause in an operating agreement is always recommended. If that's not the case, though, and there's a litigation that's initiated, I think it's very important for the defendant in any action, especially if they believe that they've been improperly sued, they need to not only put up a defense and perspective, potentially set forth counterclaims, but speak to a PR agency. You may want to get a press release put into the public persona indicating that, you know, acknowledging what's taken place, but also setting forth that, you know, there's a meritorious defense. So that's important in the business realm. As for personal injury claims, I think it's important for business owners to, you know, through one lens, make sure they make corrections and try and avoid future damage or, you know, allow injuries to continue to take place. Beyond that, I think it's a similar analysis. Is there a need to put out some sort of press release or try and sort of shift the public narrative? But it's much more difficult in the personal injury sense to have anybody not be able to file a lawsuit in court. It's just part of the nature of PI. Torts, you generally can file in litigation.
What lessons, in your opinion, can be learned from the real life cases where business and bodies clash in legal disputes?
So what lessons can be learned when businesses and bodies clash? Is that the question?
Yes. So let me rephrase it. What lessons, you know, have you learned, or, you know, what lesson would you teach other attorneys from the actual real life situations and cases where business disputes and bodies, meaning, you know, personal injury, clash in those legal disputes?
Well, again, I think what it comes down to is having an operating agreement always in place for business owners, ensuring that rights and management responsibilities are divvied out, and making sure in that operating agreement that one partner is responsible for obtaining insurance and ensuring that they get that general liability policy that's going to provide them coverage. Because if you don't, you're just going to have a storm on your hands and it's going to lead to a big problem.
Could you give any examples of such situations or cases?
Sure. I mean, right now, you know, our firm is in the process of representing two separate companies in New York who don't have insurance coverage. And because of that, there was an injury that took place at the premises. The plaintiff was injured by broken glass, and it's a pretty severe injury. And there's a whole litany of allegations against the tenant and against the landlord. The tenant, which is the business that we represent, doesn't have any insurance. And so because of that, they are paying out of pocket our firm. But also they need, under their lease, they have to provide a defense to the landlord. And because of that, they have to pay for the representation of the landlord as well, which is another law firm. So this business is ultimately not only paying for their own attorneys, but they're paying for the attorneys of the landlord as well. So now they're defending an action. And remember, there's going to be injuries. So there's the liability is going to be there. The damages will likely be there as well. So we're trying to work out a creative outcome where everybody pitches in to ultimately reach a resolution early, simply because these legal fees are just going to add up and add up and add up, especially as we get to depositions, expert testimony, and trial.
Mm-hmm. If someone is in need for a corporate litigation law firm attorney, and how can they reach you, Ross, you and your law firm? Do you have a website, social media, resources, email, cell phone number?
Sure, we have it all. So our website is pitcofflawgroup.com, PITCOFFlawgroup.com. Info@pitcofflawgroup.com is where emails can be sent. We can be reached at 646-386-0990. We are located on 48th and Park Avenue in New York City. And beyond that, our social handles are either The Business Litigator or Pitcoff Law Group, depending on which social you're on.
That's so great. Ross, thank you so much again for finding time to talk with me today about the intersection of partnership disputes and personal injury law, and for being a very special guest on my podcast. It's time for more injury finding today. But before we conclude today's episode, I have one last question for you. You ready?
Sure.
What was your first job?
My first job, believe it or not, I was a doorman in New York City on the Upper East Side.
Oh.
And I remember this was back in about, and this was a full-time job. So it was about 2006. And the rent was going for $25,000 per unit. And I do recall I actually met a couple of attorneys who had four partners at bigger firms. But all day long, I was constantly going up and down in the elevator, either delivering packages, or sometimes I would get a request to be in the elevator to come down with a resident of the building, and otherwise I'd open and close the door. So it was an interesting experience.
I love it. Beautiful story. That was, again, attorney Ross Pitkoff with Pitkoff Law Group in New York, New York. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you all for watching and listening to our story about when business and bodies clash, exploring the intersection of partnership disputes and personal injury law today. For more tips and tricks on legal funding and personal injury related topics, follow me, like, and subscribe at More Injury Funding. And it's time for More Injury Funding podcast on YouTube, Spotify, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, and other podcast platforms worldwide. Also on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, Pinterest, YouTube, Google Business Profile, and my website at moreinjuryfinding.com. That's with two O's. I can't wait to see you and listen to you again, my dear viewers and listeners, at my next upcoming episode. Until then, be well and go Braves tonight. Thank you, Ross.
Thank you very much, Lauren.